Good evening. Tonight on the show, I begin with $100 a barrel of oil. That is the ambition of Mohammed bin Salman, the heir apparent in Saudi Arabia, as well as the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin, and also the Ayatollah, $100 barrel of oil. A note from Goldman Sachs, my conversation with Liz Peek of The Hill, of Fox News, much on Fox Business, turns on a note from Goldman Sachs saying it's not likely to go much above $100, maybe topping at $107, because any higher than that, there's going to be more production out there, and that would flood the market, or at least supply would overwhelm that high price. $100 barrel of oil, what is the timeline? Goldman Sachs suggested by late 2024, in other words, around the time of the election. You will recall that the president had the tool of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in 2022 when the prices were going very high at the pump, gasoline. Since then, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has been depleted somewhat. How much, I do not know. In any event, $100 barrel of oil is genuine. Also, a conversation with Liz about Gavin Newsom, who says definitely it's time to move on. He's not running for president. I do remember my lesson from 19th century history. The way to run for president is to say you're not running for president, to get drafted at the very last moment, reluctantly. Always works. Also, a conversation with Elaine Dzensky of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy about the decision by the right-of-center Giorgia Meloni government in Rome to break with the People's Republic of China over the Belt and Road Initiative. This is a significant blow to China's ambition for the debt weapon, to lend money and then have governments around the world, especially the Global South, obedient or at least obliging to Beijing. It stopped working some time ago with all the cracks in the dams and the roadways and the unbuilt projects. There's still a cow pasture where Nicaragua was to have a canal. In any event, Giorgia Meloni has done the right thing and turned away from Beijing, and Beijing is very rocked by this. And then David Maxwell of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy about Kim and his procession into Russia to meet with Vladimir Putin. Location unknown. It's suggested it might be at the Vostochny Space Dome. It might be in Vladivostok. Unknown at this point. The detail here is what does Kim want in exchange for his artillery shells and rockets and missiles out of his arsenal? What does he ask Putin for? And does this elevate Kim in the eyes of the Third World, where he likes to sell munitions and labor battalions? In any event, Kim is now conducting himself, as David Maxwell says, as an emperor. Mary Kissel and I discussed the G20, and the question again comes up, what is the U.S. policy towards China? The president said that he's not looking to contain China. The contain word is from the first Cold War, containing Russia, containing China. That seems as a possibility, but right now what the U.S. and its allies are doing is surrounding China with like-minded and extremely well-armed sovereign states, telling China go no farther, especially with regard to Taiwan. And Joseph Sternberg is entertaining for me to explain how it is the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt, plans to raise taxes, talk about a recession, and promise stability and growth in some fashion. The Conservatives have been in power 12, 13 years. They're tired. They're clearly out of good ideas. Raising taxes while talking about a recession. Well, I'm an amateur at this, but that seems three bridges too far. Later on, a conversation about the federal government, a part of the federal government I did not know about, the Maritime Administration. This includes the U.S. Merchant Marine and all the flag carriers. They need seamen. They need mariners, all kinds of mariners, untrained mariners, licensed mariners. If you know someone or yourself are capable of going to sea or participating in the Maritime Administration, now's the time to join. It will be a joy. It's a good job, good benefits. They're hiring. I mention again and again. Sounds romantic. The U.S. Merchant Marine, academies in Castine, Maine. I visited once. Castine is a beautiful town on the Maine coast. A little cold in the wintertime, but in any event, the graduating out of that academy are the men and women, the officers who serve the maritime administration to keep the ships flowing. That trade is vital. And then a grand conversation with Cleo Pascal, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, about the Chinese agents of influence marching against Oceania, in this case, the Federated States of Micronesia, looking to build gambling dens that allow for money laundering and also influence with corrupt money. The local politicians taking over the FSM. This is a route between Hawaii and the Philippines that would be needed by the U.S. Navy in the event of conflict. And then a lengthy conversation with Gregory Copley about Ethiopia and how it's doing it during its struggles with its civil war, about Russia and how Russia and the PRC did very well at the G20 because there was no condemnation of the Ukraine war. And then the thought experiment. What if she survives the collapse of the Chinese miracle, the economy that is now in reverse? How will he survive? What will it look like, short of launching a self-destructive war on Taiwan, a surveillance state, a state security power, keeping the Chinese people much more reduced, impoverished compared to where they are today, if she survives? And then finally, the King Charles Report, noting that Prince William, the Prince of Wales, is outpolling in popularity his father, even his wife, the very popular Princess Kate. And there's precedent for this, and Gregory helps me understand, reaching back to the 1930s and farther back to the 18th century, to the king that we know as George III, condemned by the Declaration of Independence, but in any event, didn't get the help from his sons that King Charles is getting from his son, Prince William. There's more. Enjoy. Thank you.